We talk to the agencies and the agencies that are thinking about adopting the service. And they had certain requirements. Well, we can look at industry and ask them how to solve the problem. And I think a lot of times we forget to do that. But in this case, we really don't know what the landscape is as far as the products and what's available. So we ask them to come in and talk to us and answer some questions. So this is pretty much market research as to, you know, what's available, how can we go about solving this issue with the government. And I think it's very important to have our industry partners involved because they do have good solutions and they have good ideas of how to approach some of these areas of concern.
Step back just a little bit. Give us some background on how all of this came about and what exactly you hope to achieve.
Back in October, the federal CIO signed a memorandum that said all of the federal agencies should accept externally issued credentials that have been FICAM approved. So these credentials that we're talking about go from level of assurance 1 through 3 or 1 through 4, depending on how you look at it. But they are issued external to the federal government. They're issued by our commercial folks and people like that. And what we're trying to do is accept those so that citizens can come into the federal government and access the resources that they need access to. This has been process that we've had in place is called the Trust Framework Provider Adoption Process. That has been in place for a while. We look at trust framework providers who then look at identity providers and say, you know, that they have some assurance that the identity, one of the levels of assurance that the identity being presented is who the person really says they are. So this this opportunity is for us to provide a service so all federal agencies can accept these credentials without having to go through a lot of integration at the agency level.
Because a lot of these credentials are already there. The work has been done.
Yes, that's right.
And how will you ensure privacy in all of this?
So that privacy is a big concern. It's a concern for the citizen as well as the federal government. We have issues, or we have, I guess you'd call it requirements as far as privacy is concerned. We only collect information that is necessary for that application. And at the same time, what we're trying to do is make sure that the citizen understands that we're not promulgating the information across all of the people, the resources that they might be looking at. So if you go to one website and you provide information about yourself, whether it's medical information or just some kind of personal information, then if you go to another site, that same information is not presented to that site unless you give permission for it to be. So that's one of the things that we're looking at, trying to help contain or help make sure that the citizens understand as well as that the products that we might be looking at or the solutions adhere to that.
One of the possible solutions, one of the ideas that has been brought up is the idea of encrypted envelopes. What does that mean?
Well, that's securing it's for those of you who understand, there's a payload. So information that's sent is called a payload. And you can use encryption to seal the envelope and not allow people to open it unless you want them to, unless they have the keys or the right letter opener. So this envelope would be sent through and just kind of passed through so that you can't see the private information that might be in it.
Now, what are the rules and mandates that you need to meet with all of this regarding privacy?
First, one thing is opt-in. So we're asking people to, they have to give permission, and they have to actually consciously say that they want to be a part of this. So there's opt-in. There are a couple of others, and Naomi can go into a lot of detail about it, but one of the things is that we don't share, like I said before, we don't share the information from one entity to another. So you're not going to have information that's used to other than potentially give you a better user experience, there's not going to be information to give you advertisements or anything like that, because one, we don't advertise, but two, we don't think that it's appropriate that one agency in the government knows some of the information from another agency. So that's one of the main things that we're looking at. We're also looking at not collecting more information than you need to. There's a possibility that instead of saying, I'm 21 years old, that you can just say, yes, this individual is 21. For various different reasons. So things of that nature. Those are the primary drivers that I think about when I'm thinking of the privacy.
Talk about the role of NSTIC.
So NSTIC is a national strategy, of course, and it's for the Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, which hence the name. We feel like the FICAM office and the identity management in the federal government is the government side and the government implementation of that. We are talking government to citizen in this case. So this is a FICAM initiative as well as the NSTIC. So we're trying to reach the goals of enhancing the privacy, enhancing the security and availability as well as the end user experience, which is an NSTIC goal and our NSTIC goals. And then it's also our goal. So we're merging the two of them that way. They're complementary.
Why not just have the government approve ID providers directly? Why have a middle layer?
Primarily because there's so many identity providers. And we don't feel like, one, we have the resources to do it. But secondly, I think it's important that we adopt the industry standards and the industry trust framework providers, the people that are approved, are industry providers. They already have the trust frameworks. And they are actually better capable of looking at the identity providers and approving them at the level that we need for them to be approved.